This episode is brought to you by BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. Coming up on TMS, hey, keep it down out there.
Our doorbell tastes good.
Gross. How much are the naked noodles?
This is your cheese.
No idea how you got those up there.
Tom's,
just try that again.
Yeah.
No idea how those got up there.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Understood, Admiral. Although there's something that worries us. A captain of the Republic is snooping around the sector. We followed him after his warp jump, but he destroyed our ships.
It's Grandma!
The Morning Stream. We just wanted more fish. They wouldn't give us any more fish.
Hello. Oh, I like that. What you did there. That was satisfying. Oh, wow. Look at that. What is that?
That is part of the stratosphere from the Lego Las Vegas set that... Hammond sent me for Christmas.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. Part of the stratosphere.
Are those hard to make? Those puzzles, 3D puzzles? I've never done one.
Well, it's not a 3D puzzle. It's a Lego.
Oh, it's a Lego thing.
Architecture.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, those hard too? Are those also hard and difficult?
Those are more difficult than the... I don't know about difficult. Really, what the difficulty is looking at the booklet and trying to figure out what's changed between picture 8 and picture 9.
Yeah.
They show you like a little one pip Lego piece and says, here's a picture 8 and here's picture 9. And you have to figure out, oh, where did that one little one piece go?
I'm always looking for my one piece.
That little one pip.
The one pip. Hey, well, that's great. Congratulations on that. And welcome everybody to the Morning Stream. It's January 9th, 2019. I almost said 2018. I almost did it. I've been working really hard on this.
Touch yourself.
Been working really hard on it, and I blew it. 2019. So it's the 9th of January, 2019. We are still very early in the year, and we hope you're all having a fantastic time. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ebbett. Hi, Brian Ebbett.
Hi, Scott.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, look at this. Look at this. I got a thing for you.
Okay.
Hello. So last night... At about, let me set the scene here.
Okay.
At about, what would it have been? 10:30, probably. Not too late. But I've been trying to go to bed earlier just to, you know, it's just better for me. I get more sleep. I don't feel so poopy in the morning. In fact, last night I slept way better than I did the night before. So
when you say go to bed early, what is the typical time that you go to bed and what time have you been trying to go to bed?
I mean... Early, what I should be doing is, like, my brother-in-law is, like, meticulously in bed by 9 or 9:30.
Oh, that's, come on, that's
it's
silly.
Ridiculous.
What is he, 11?
I agree. He's like a little kid with school the next morning or something. But he gets up at, like, the crack of 5 or something and just gets a ton done. So he's got something there. I'm not that nuts. For me, early is, like, 10:30. In bed by 10:30, maybe 11. That's early.
Okay. That's typical for me. Tina and I are usually in bed by 10. Mm-hmm. She goes to sleep right away. I will either watch something on Netflix or read a book or something.
When do you put your face hugger on? When does that happen?
Face hugger comes on at about 10:30, 10:45,
okay.
Basically.
All right. Are you sometimes in the middle of watching a thing or reading a thing when you put it on?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, that's basically what defines it. Like, when my eyelids start getting heavy halfway through the latest Melissa McCarthy movie or whatever, that's when the facehugger comes on and the alien eggs are deposited into my chest.
Okay.
For later.
Oh, for later gestation.
For later gestation, exactly.
Yeah. Because it's going to pop out at dinner.
Right, exactly.
As we know.
Gosh, so, darn it, those aliens pop out at the worst time, don't they?
They really do. Always right in the middle of dinner. Everyone's having a good time. Boom, there he is. So here's the deal. I tried last night to just be truer to that, because in recent weeks, it's been like 1, 1:30. Come on, Scott, go to bed. You know, that sort of thing. So last night, 10:30, in bed. I'm working on a new art thing I'm very excited about, so I'm kind of doodling on that and getting ready to sleep. And I hear this out the back window. Here's what I hear. Like that.
Okay.
Now in the chat, right. In the notes, I tried to pronounce it out as it's just E A G E H H H.
That sounds a lot better. It was just like it's an actual human making that noise, or it's something scraping against the window or something.
Yeah, and it sounded very human to me. It had range to it. It didn't sound like an object scraping on an object.
Had range. It was like Mariah Carey out there.
Right. She can really hit those high notes.
Had like a 4-octave singing voice. Exactly. Perfect pitch.
I would have preferred that because all I got instead was... And I don't know what it was. I got up and looked at the thing. I couldn't see anybody. There's a little bit of light outside, and there was another guy across the way moving his trash out to the curb. Like I had done earlier in the night. It wasn't him making that sound because I could hear his scraping, and it wasn't this. It was like near my window and somebody going like that, and they did it on and off until about 11, and then it stopped. What do you do? It's like 25 degrees outside. What do you do? Do you go outside? Do you go hunt around? Do you poke around, see what's going on? Do I call a neighbor and go, hey, you hear that? Like, what do you do? What's your go-to plan? When you hear that,
I would definitely go to the window. I'd look around and then I'd say, you know what? I probably just imagined it, and I'd go back to bed. Now, did you hear it? You only heard it the one time, right?
I heard it twice, and Kim heard it. Twice. Kim heard it once.
Okay.
So I have some witness in Kim. She heard a bit of it, and then I know, right? The plot thickens a little bit because there's like some verifiable. Bit.
Right, exactly. If it was just you, I'd say, imagined it. But if it's, if more than one of you heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably put the robe on and at least go peek out another window that has a different view of the backyard.
Maybe I should have done that. I got nervous and I went, no, I've been playing Resident Evil today. This is all in my head.
That is, yeah, I mean, you know, I saw you stick your hand down a guy's neck to retrieve a key.
Oh my gosh, that game. I can't believe it made me do that. Now, here's the thing about that video, Brian. It's gross enough to think about. And by the way, that's a character from earlier in the game who I spoke to. So it's not like it's just some random corpse. I have some connection to this character. And so it's bad enough that the thing is I need to reach down his freaking neck hole, his severed head neck hole, and retrieve a key that I need for a bunch of the house. By the way, a key I've been looking for since the game started. And who knew that one day I'd find it down the neck hole of a dead body? So anyway, I'm reaching.
How long had it been there? Was it in there when he was alive, or was it deposited after he died?
Who knows? I mean, in theory, he was decapitated and had that thing jammed down there by the guy I'm chasing after now. But
right, probably anyway, the guy who decapitated
the psycho son of this house. So anyway, I'm that's bad enough, and it's super graphic and really visceral and gross. You saw it. It's gross. I can't even imagine seeing it in VR. It'd just be the most disgusting moment of my life. But all I could do is laugh at the end of it because it's just like, what did they just make me do? Yes. But
especially the caption, sorry, dude.
Yeah, sorry, dude. Yeah, exactly. It's the best I could offer my old friend who's now laying here headless. But
sorry, dude.
Anyway, the thing about that, if you watch that video again, it's something you don't notice the first time. But if you watch it again, you'll notice that as soon as I start digging around in there, the body starts making weird involuntary movements, a.k.a. the rummaging around somebody's spine is going to make their nerves go whoo and move a little bit.
You're digitally manipulating the nerves of this corpse.
Yes, it's so gross. It's gross. It's the grossest thing that game's had me do, and I thought shooting the lady in the hive crotch, the bee crotch, was the worst thing. No, this was bad. That game's a whole another level. But anyway, catch it Tuesdays and Thursdays.
So that's probably what's got you on edge and making you.
I thought about that. Yes.
Yeah.
Entirely possible. You know, I was laying there just thinking. I dreamt about it a little bit. You know, that's what happens when you
dreamt about Resident Evil or dreamt about the noise.
No, okay. Resident Evil. I had like a. I don't know, like a weird combo dream that was the new stuff from this Resident Evil 7 garbage and then reminiscing of old Resident Evil things like Barry and Jill and like the cheese bag stuff back in the day. Yeah. And it was a weird combo and I couldn't even tell you what happened, but I dreamt about that a bunch of the night. And then about 4 in the morning, I don't know where this came from because I never get these, but I wake up with the worst Charlie horse in my right calf. You ever get one of those, a Charlie horse?
I do get them, yeah, but usually when I'm doing something, like you, not usually just kind of on its own.
Yeah. Maybe I thought somebody's hand was down my neck pipe.
Maybe, and you just stiffened your leg up or something. I don't know.
I don't know, like, but it hurt so bad. I woke up and I just like rocked up and went, ah, ha, ha, ha. And Kim's like, what?
What's going on in your sleep, man?
I don't know. You wake up
with scratches and now you're getting Charlie horses.
I'm freaking out. I got to get better sleep. This sucks. It sucks. I have perfectly normal days. It's like, hey, here's my day, doing my normal day. Oh, here's nighttime. Oh, okay. Who knows what'll happen tonight? I can't remember the last time where I just laid there and slept.
Now, you know, it might not be such a bad idea to go have a sleep study done. You know, just like a kind of like what you do for sleep apnea, but just like, Doc, I've been waking up with scratches and Charlie horses and...
Oh, yeah, the scratches.
That sort of thing. Exactly. It might not be a bad idea to say, mind watching me while I sleep?
Yeah. By the way, no, I don't know what happened to all y'all, but nobody sent in any theories about the scratches.
Nobody. Oh, really? Nobody. Wow, usually anything. We get, like half a dozen theories on, well, here's probably what the cause was. Yep. It's a...
I think what happened...
I looked on WebMD, and they said that you're...
Your spontaneous scratches on WebMD. You've
got leprosy.
Well, I did. I mean, I've done a little thinking further, and I think it's just that big of a mystery. It's just a stumper, and nobody can tell me. So that's fine. That's fine. It could let it be a mystery. It's healing up. That's what matters. It's not like it's staying. It didn't get worse last night. It's just all jacked up. My nights are stupid. Mm-hmm. All right, but how was your night? You guys, puzzle pint night over there at the Tuesday.
It was a puzzle pint night. Yep, around the world, every month, the second Tuesday is a puzzled pint.
Yeah.
This is really cool, and I've talked about it on the show before, but just a little quick reminder. Number one, free to play. Mm. You show up at this bar, they give you a stack of puzzles, you solve them with your buddies. You might, order drinks, have some appetizers, order a plate of food, whatever, but that part you pay for, but the puzzles themselves, totally free. And the reason I'm like really pushing this is because I would love to see a Tadpool contingent that does these, and I'll create a Discord channel and stuff for people who want to talk about it, because last night was brilliant. It was, the theme of the whole night was Friends, the TV show Friends. Mm-hmm. And so you had a Chandler round where you had to based on his ambiguous job about
what did he do anyway, what the hell was his job?
It was something like, distinguished reports and blah blah blah. Like, it was some made up kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But so it was a word search with math equations that was, again, really well done. Basically, you had to find accurate math equations in a grid of numbers and symbols. We had to assemble an octahedron. They gave us a little pattern. We had to cut it out, tape it up to make an octahedron for Phoebe's constellation.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
like figuring constellations made up of things like Smelly Cat and Marcel.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Ross and Rachel round with, and then a Joey round, et cetera. I mean, basically it was, all the friends. The last puzzle though was brilliant. We got this sheet with a hexagon on it and spaces where we had to fill in the letters from the answers we'd gotten on all the previous puzzles.
Mm.
And then we cut out the hexagon. There was another, we did actually, there was a point where we did have to pivot, JK Grammar. Like, we were carrying a recliner up a set of stairs. We had to pivot.
Oh my gosh.
But we had to cut out this hexagon, then fold it a few different ways, and then do another cut. And when we unfolded it again, it was a round paper doll with six people all holding hands with hearts where their hands were connecting. It was the six friends, and the letters that were revealed were a fifth puzzle.
Wow.
Absolutely brilliant. Wow. So well done.
Hmm. That sounds great. It sounds like, what reminds me? It reminds me of sometimes Jeopardy will do those categories where it'll seem obvious what the topic is, but then it's always a deeper question. Like,
right,
you mentioned the Phoebe constellation.
Right.
That's just connected by a name, but it's enough to say it's a Friends category. Like, it's hard to explain, but I always like that. I always enjoy those.
It's really, really well done. Yeah. So Jack Wolf, another Tadpooler, who started going to this based on hearing me talk about it. He and I talked via email about this, and he said, God, it'd be great if there was like a Tadpool group of other people who do this, that we could have a Discord chat room and talk about the puzzles from the previous night. So if anybody wants to check out Puzzle Pint, again, just go to puzzlepint.com, have a look at the cities that they're in. Again, it's free to play. You lose nothing. You go hang out with friends, and I'll bet if you find other tadpoolers that you know in the area, it'd be a fun tadpool meetup thing, like a little get-together thing.
Yeah. There's tons here, by the way.
I'll extend it out to Denver, folks. If you want to come out to one of these, you know, I'll bounce around between teams every month and join a different team so I can slow one specific team down every month.
Yeah.
by being a member of it.
And it's not just states, obviously. Look at this list here. Amsterdam, Atlanta, Austin, Bay Area, right. A couple of those. Boulder, like you mentioned, Cape Town, South Africa, Chicago, Columbus, blah, 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 Detroit, New York, Orange County, like everywhere. It's everywhere. Phoenix. Oh, we got a lot of Phoenix people. You guys should do that down there. What are you doing?
Totally. Yeah, exactly. You Furt Raiders down there in Phoenix, come on, go to this. And it is such a blast. It is,
ooh,
you know,
if you're
into the, like, the pub quiz kind of thing, but you're not really good at trivia or you want something different from trivia, this is like the total way to go.
How do you find out how you expand one of these or something? I'd love one here in Salt Lake, but there's not one. How do I do that?
There's one in Utah, though. Isn't there one in, like,
is it Park City or something? Where am I looking? It's not searchable because it's an image. Oh, no, maybe it is text. Hold on.
Should be text. Yeah.
No Utahs, but they don't list states. So let's see. Yeah, I don't see it. I want this. This is the thing.
Yeah,
I want.
You should. It'd be. You would have a blast with it, and you know, especially you and Carter and Kim, and
Carter
and Nick.
Would eat this up, dude. Oh my god.
Yeah, exactly. And you find out that you're sitting at a table of like three or four people, and you're looking at this thing that's like, oh my god, I am just not connecting with how we solve this. And one other person on the table would be like, oh yeah, no, it's this, and this. And you know, it's that weird collaborative. You discover strengths of yourself and strengths of the people around you that you didn't know you had to be able to put this stuff together. It's
pretty
really, cool. Really cool.
I'm color me interested in figuring out how to get one here. But yeah, if you're interested, go to I just had it up. Puzzlepints.com.
Puzzledpint.com. And if you go to info/cities, a couple of people are posting about this in the chat room. If there isn't one in your area, you can start one in your area. And you just basically, I've talked to the two women who do this for Denver, and they said, oh yeah, basically all we have to do is find a place that wants to host it. I think they get some, the bar gets pays a little bit because they're bringing in a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is sit there. You don't have to get in front of a mic and say, all right, everybody, well, our first puzzle today. I mean, you just sit at a table, you hand out puzzles, you help people solve them because you know the answers and you can kind of nudge them in the right direction. And so if you want one in your city, that's a great way to get involved.
Yeah, I agree. They need to fix their feedback link, though.
Their website for a bunch of smart puzzle making people, their website is a little 1.0.
Yeah, yeah.
In places.
It's very 1.0. I click on the feedback link and it takes me to a Puzzle Pint player feedback. We are no longer using this form. Please submit any feedback to this email instead. Well, just have the email be the link, you dinguses.
Exactly, yeah.
That's not a puzzle I had to work very hard on to figure that one out.
Right.
It's easy. Right. All right.
The puzzle developer is absolutely 100% brilliant, but maybe not web developers,
yeah,
which
maybe
is
not.
Okay.
That's fine. It's fine. Okay. Who are we to judge, Brian? We're not here to judge.
Not me.
Not me.
Not judging.
No. We all should do, so your idea of the doing something in the Discord is a good idea. We should just make a group in there called Puzzle Pint
or something.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do it right now. I'm right there. I will add it under gaming because I feel like it fits under gaming.
Oh, that's a great idea. And if you've never joined our Discord, the Frog Pants Discord is available for all who would like to come. It is permanently linked and available at frogpants.com/contact. It's also scattered all around the site, but that's the easiest place to find it. And you can just sign up for free if you've never been on our Discord before. Even if some people hear that and go, well, I'm not a gamer. You don't need to be. It's just a platform for talking.
Not at all. Yeah, I mean, there's a film sack chat in here with people talking about movies. There's chat about Boop, and there will be dungeons. And
yeah.
There's a room where you're specifically allowed to talk about movie spoilers. So when you find out Aquaman is really a woman, that's where stuff like that goes. Yeah. Oh, did I say too much?
Aquawoman. Confirmed. Aquaman.
Aquaman.
Aquaman. Aquaman.
It's nice. Kind of fun to say, really.
Yeah, it isn't bad. I'm kind of enjoying it myself. All right. Well, that's good. Let's talk to Dunaway, because it's Wednesday, and it's his day to come in here.
Cool.
And he's showing his offline.
Would people prefer it in Slack? I'll add it to the Slack. That's fine.
You put it in the Slack also. I'm sure. Busy. Yeah, there's a bunch of people that use Slack for stuff. We'll put it there as well.
Sure, fine. Whatever, God.
Yeah. They have actually, the Slack people are quite active in there. They're all.
They really are, actually, yapping. Yeah.
Yeah, which is good. Let's see. What are we doing here? Colin Dunaway.
Calling the Dunaway.
Is he there? Dunaway, you there? Oh. Hello? Dunaway? Oh, he's not there. Well, that's no good. Okay, we're recording again. Hi. Oh, hey. Whoa, hold on. We got to play a thing here for you. Hold on. Oh, shoot. I'm all jacked up. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, the one, the only, Brian Dunaway for Babel Royale. Hello, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi, Scott. There I am. Oh, yes. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Hi, Brian.
We were afraid that something had happened, but we couldn't find word of you anywhere.
I was afraid something happened, too.
Oh.
It was called, Why Won't My PC Let Me Log In?
Oh.
Oh, no.
That's a bad story. Nobody likes that story.
Right. I was getting a notification on my phone. I was like, oh, no, okay.
Because you've been hacked.
You've been hacked.
Welcome to
Hacksville.
Hey,
is that the caps lock over there? Hey, I've been hacked.
Oh, I have a story about that I shouldn't probably tell because it involves somebody who's staying at my house. I'm not going to do it.
Wow.
Okay. Is it your wife?
No, it's not my wife. Not someone who lives here permanently. It's hard to explain.
No.
Anyway, hey, it's time for Babel Royale. That means you guys get to call in at the fabulous phone number of 801-471-0469. 62, not 69. What? 801-471-0462. And if you call that number, we'll bring you in, and you could be the winner, like this person. Hi, who's this?
Daniel.
Daniel, hello, Daniel. Oh, why, we know you, don't we? Have you called before?
First time.
Why is your name cool. familiar? His Welcome. Name and voice is familiar to me. I don't know why. Is that weird?
Daniel, where are you calling from?
Stafford, Virginia.
Stafford, Virginia.
Cool.
That's a cool...
Just one time I would like somebody to say, from Mars?
Yeah. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. They can't get... They
from
come
your
out.
Attic.
From your Inuit.
Get your ass to
from
Earth.
From inside the house.
Well, it's good to have you here, Daniel. You're going to participate in today's little fun gumion. I'm making up words today, and Brian will explain how it works.
That's right. Daniel, I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic. They're going to go back and forth giving answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the winner's going to go to the other player. Your job is to predict who's going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for a prize package that includes the Assassin's Creed Odyssey on PC from Joe Lambardazzi. The person who won it Monday is not able to use it, so we are putting it back into the prize pool. So hopefully you're able to use it if you win it.
Ooh.
Plus, we're going to add to that Overgrowth and Invisible Ink, or Invisible Incorporated. I'm sure it's, you know, it's punny. It's Invisible Ink.
Yeah, it's ink.
Courtesy, of course it is, from Stephen Costner. I just, you know, want to make sure that somebody's looking for it. They don't do a search engine with a K. They do a C.
Sure. I'd like to make a quick point about that Invisible Ink game.
Sure.
Came out in 2015 and was my 2015 game of the year. And and I played it. I still play it. Like, it still gets played. Yeah, I love it. There's also now an iPad version that is unbelievably good. And it's a fantastic game. One of my favorite games Klee ever made. They're one of my favorite developers.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I do have this on my iPad. Yeah. I've forgotten about it because it's like in a... I added it and played it, but it's in a... It's a couple pages beyond where the games I usually grab from.
Yeah, it's so good. Oh, my gosh.
Move it up to you. Dude, I gotta get Ibbot straightened out with like a play night account. So it's application that allows you to catalog all of your games. And I usually what I do is I sort them by date. That way I'm not playing anything from 2012 when I'm wanting to play something more recent.
Do I have to enter everything in manually, or is it somehow combed?
No, it hooks to your services.
Oh.
Yeah, the problem is that it's a lot of this is stuff on my iPad. Like, it's not Steam.
Mm. Oh, it's in that case, own... you're screwed.
Mm. Exactly, it's my own...
Get your spreadsheet.
My own dumbness.
Well, you could do manual stuff for those, I suppose. But anyway, sorry to interrupt. Yeah, I just wanted to put it out there that is one of my favorite games ever. And so good luck winning today. All right.
It's a great game. So that's what you're playing for. Now, your topic today is, I'll tell you number one, because number one kind of sets the stage for this, but the Avengers Endgame trailer, when it arrived on the scene, became the most viewed YouTube trailer, most viewed trailer on YouTube, with 289 million views in the first 24 hours that it was up.
That was Endgame.
That was Endgame.
Okay.
I want to know what the other 19 are that make up the top 20. The top 20 most viewed trailers in their first 24 hours.
Wow.
On YouTube.
Wow. In the first 24 hours.
This one, courtesy of Tom Robinson. This is a fun one. I really like this category.
Yeah, this one's good.
All right. Love the question. I just have this terrible feeling it's going to be one and done.
Maybe.
I'm going to say something stupid.
Let's hope not, but yeah, of course.
So, Daniel, who starts and who wins? What do you think?
I'm going to let Scott go first and Scott to win.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, all your money on Scott. Now, there's no pressure. All right.
I'm going to really quickly make sure that my numbers are up to date. So hold on.
Okay. No problem. Let us all hold on. Well, I'm going to say one that's obvious.
Yeah, sure.
Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Sorry.
That was funny.
Well, the fact that I had to blow my nose a lot.
It's like catching some or making somebody say something right when they're drinking or whatever. It's like,
right, exactly.
Yeah. One and done.
One and done. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Let me make sure my number is up to date. Yes, my number is up to date. Star Wars The Force Awakens, number 12 on the list with 112 million views in the first
number 12.
Hours.
See, that's interesting because that surprises me. It's only 12, so this is good to get that one out of the way. All right, Dunaway, what do you got there, buddy?
All right, and you said Avengers Endgame was number one, right?
So Avengers Endgame is number
one. Very good. Well, then, I mean, why wouldn't everybody be excited about the Avengers Infinity War?
Why wouldn't they? Right? That's number two. 230 million views in the first 24 hours.
Marvel.
That trailer first appeared November 29th, 2017. 230 million views on that date.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I mean,
you can do it.
Star Wars Episode 8 has to be on there.
What's the name of Star Wars Episode 8?
You called him on it.
I have to know the name. Really?
Episode 8.
Why can't it be episode 8?
Come on. You should be able to come up with the name.
My brain's not working. Hold on.
You got this.
Hold on.
You got this.
There's so much argument about that movie that I've literally kind of forgotten the name of the freaking movie. Hold on a minute. Star Wars episode 8.
It's still on Netflix, right? Episode 8.
You know what?
It's The Last Jedi. It's The Last Jedi.
I was going to say, I'll give you as much time as you need.
I will let you flounder around as long as you need.
That's right. 120 million views, putting it at number 9 on the list.
Oh, higher than the... Oh, wow. Right.
Higher than The Force Awakens.
All right. Brian?
I thought I gave myself a clue earlier, and I'm going to say the new Captain Marvel trailer. Everybody's just watching. Might as well just call YouTube the Marvel channel. Right?
You could.
Am I close?
You'd think. Captain Marvel.
Oh, no. Did I miss it?
No.
Is that Captain Marvel? 109
million views, putting it number 13 on the list.
Oh, you scared me.
You got all nervous there, didn't you, buddy?
I tried to.
Got all chickened out. All right. I seem to remember everybody flipping out about it. When it first hit, and then you could see the clown. I don't know if it was the teaser or the actual fuller Pennywise filled second trailer, but I remember it being a big deal.
It was huge. Number four on the list.
What?
197 million views.
Fourth?
In the first 24 hours. Fourth.
Okay, now I got to get my brain going because
yeah,
that surprises me. I thought it'd be in the like the low up to the near 20.
Right. So I would just.
Oh, I know one. Go ahead,
is
Brian.
Is this just theatrical movies. It doesn't include Netflix movies, because I've seen a lot of trailers recently that are just like blowing up.
Sure. They may track non-theatrical trailers, but I can tell you that the top 20 here are all theatrical.
Yeah, there's a nice big cheat stick for you. See what you can do with it.
How's that a cheat stick? How's that cheating?
Well, now you know it's not these other things you might have said. You could have said Bird Box and then... And
that's what I was going to do.
Right. So what you did is you went around it and said, hey, Brian, here's a question. And Brian said, right, I'm not blaming Brian. But Brian's like, well, yeah, I can tell you that none of those are in here. So now you know to steer clear of those. Cheat stick! Right. Cheat stick!
All right. Well, I know a couple of things. I'm assuming there's going to be movies recently, because I'll tell you, YouTube has been big for a while, but just the last couple of years, it's just getting outrageous with the views. And so it's going to be modern trailers, right? And I've already did all the Marvel ones that I can think of, lest I do...
I got a good one.
How about... I'm going to go off the reservation. How about A Quiet Place? Because it's kind of like Bird Box, but it was big. Mm. It's not like Bird Box. It's not like Bird Box. I'm sorry. A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place. Probably the quietest trailer... released in the last several years, and not on the
list. Yeah!
No! Oh, yeah.
You know what? I was about to drop a big old fat, the remake of The Lion King was going to be my next one.
That is number three on the list. What? 224 million.
I haven't even seen that one.
You should. It's
good.
Are you serious? It's cool. You should see it. I like it. I'm excited about that movie.
The rest of the list here, and there are a couple that, you know, I gave you double because there are two Infinity War trailers, trailer number two, trailer number one. And Force Awakens. Well, you're not going to say, I'm going to guess Force Awakens again. So obviously in the top 20, there were two duplicates, Force Awakens and Infinity War.
That makes sense.
Of it, The Lion King, The Fate of the Furious, number six, Thor Ragnarok, number seven.
Oh, Thor Ragnarok. I've been great. I watched that trailer like 100 times.
Mm-hmm. Another Disney remake, Beauty and the Beast, 127 million views, putting number eight. 50 Shades Darker, people hoping to see a little booby.
Yeah.
Incredibles 2, Pokemon Detective Pikachu, one of the newer ones on the list. Captain America Civil War, one of the older ones on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers The Last Knight. Beauty and the Beast, trailer two, Black Panther, and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, Black Panther.
Yeah.
For Pete's sake, you just should have said what Disney trailers in the last 2 years that have come out.
Right? Yeah, I mean, Disney does own like, two-thirds of this list, really.
Yeah, most of that list. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well done, Daniel. You're the big winner today. And,
Thank you.
As is tradition.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
That's for you. This is for Brian.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's how it works. One of you gets one of you gets the other. All you got to do is email Brian Ibbett over at coverville@gmail.com. He will send you your codes, and none will be the wiser. Congratulations, and give our best to Virginia. All right. Hey, Dunaway, that was fun.
I was
going to say something to you about something. Forgot what it was, so I won't do it. Oh, you should go watch that Lion King trailer. I think it looks cool. I'm actually excited about it.
I'm the only person that hasn't.
Yeah, a lot of people want to be snarky about that one, but because they think it looks like a shot for shot, but the director's already said it's not, and I don't know. The casting is interesting, and they got James Earl Jones back, so what else are you going to ask for? And it looks super realistic. I wouldn't even call it. People want to say, oh, it's the animated, or it's the live action. No, it's animated, so I'm just going to call it a reboot. That's what I'm going to say. A reboot. And you're going to have all my mom's. Sorry. Elton John's songs are going to be all up in there. Right?
Can you feel the love tonight?
Fun fact, the original Rafiki Monkey who held up Baby Pumbaa was played by Benson.
Yeah.
That was Benson, which is great. Anyway,
I thought it was Bean. I thought it was Rowan Atkinson.
Even better.
That's the bird. That's the freaking bird.
I thought
bird.
That was Whoopi Goldberg.
That's Pumbaa.
It's in the past.
That's Pumbaa. Anyway. So there you go. Well done. And what else? That's it. Oh, we had a really good boob show on Monday. People should go check that out if they haven't heard it.
So good.
Yeah, it was good. Frogpants.com/BOOP. And Brian and I talked about a myriad of video games that we all enjoyed greatly.
Myriad.
Brian, take it easy. Have fun. And kiss our
Thank
butts.
You, gentlemen.
Bye.
Thank you.
He's very, that was very agreeable at the end there, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. It's just very kind.
Has he ever not been, though? Come on, it's Brian Dunaway.
It's true. He's one of the nicest people I know. But who knows?
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
Hey, look, it's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville. Hey, check out who's turning 60 next week.
Who?
Susanna Hoffs.
What?
Of the Bengals.
Shut up.
And Sade, both turning 60 next week, Wednesday and Thursday. We're doing a show now. Well, not now, but today at 1 p.m. Mountain Time. Twitch.tv/Coverville. It's the Bengals and Sade cover story. So, you know, you'll be able to view your No Ordinary Love in a different light, and your eternal flame can light up your smooth operator.
Wow.
Today at 1 p.m.
Wow. That was something.
Thank you very much. And then make sure to walk like an Egyptian right over to twitch.tv/Coverville at 1 p.m. Mountain Time.
I can't believe either of them are 60.
I know.
That's
I know.
Crazy.
They look amazing, too. I was looking at Susanna Hoffs was on, maybe it was a music video, her and Matthew Sweet music video. And she still looks, still looks as good as she did in the Bengals days.
Oh, yeah, look at her. She's lovely.
She's cute as a button.
She is cute. She's got really good genes. I don't have these genes. Yeah. These genes don't exist in my family. I just, you know what? Right? I'm cursed to, because she's got, I don't know what her heritage is, but she's obviously got some really good, like.
Oh, she does have some unusual heritage. I want to say she's, her mom is like Latvian or something. There's some.
Yeah, something was, like that.
Her mom was born.
Some ageless place of that where no one gets old.
Right.
And everyone looks great in their freaking 50s and 60s. Man, lucky her. I think she looks better. I think she looks better now than when she was in the heyday of the Bengals. I'm just going to say that. She looks great. Like, that's maybe, a mature, beautiful woman right there.
Just right. It looks like her mom was born in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Well, see, you get a little bit of that in there.
There's something there, yes.
Yeah, she's lovely. All right, well, anyway.
Yeah.
We'll stop gawking at her now.
Probably a good idea.
Is Sade still giving people that sweet taboo or whatever she used to give people?
She is, yes. Not just the sweet taboo, but the sweetest taboo.
Sweetest taboo. You're giving me.
That's he's giving me. In love with you.
all right. Well, let's talk about
that
this.
That twitch in your takedown notice. That's by the way, you're going to hear a cover of that by the Watson twins.
Oh. Wait, which who are they?
Jenny Lewis. I think she was the one who was in. See, this is where my music trivia mojo fails. Mm. She was the one I think was in that Nintendo movie with Fred Savage, The Wizard.
Oh, okay. I had a crush on her back then. That girl,
yeah, Jenny Lewis and the Watson twins.
Yeah, didn't she? Didn't her and who was in that?
Milo Kylie.
Who was the? Who's the other main guy, kind of the street tough brother?
Oh, and the Wizard?
Mr. Ooh. Robot. He's Mr. Robot. Not Rami Malek, but Mr. Old Man Robot, Dad Robot. Mr. Robot.
Oh, Christian Slater.
Christian Slater. Jeez.
Old Man Robot.
Spinoff coming soon to TBS. That's a show I'm behind on by about a season. Anyway. All right. This story got sent to us by like 12 of you out there. So thank you all for
that. And I saw it. And I saw it on the local news this morning, and I may never recover.
I wouldn't recover if I watched the local news in the morning. I'm glad I avoided that.
Hey, man, you got to find out. Got to see what the traffic and weather are on the 10s.
That's true. That's true. Although here we do it on the 9s for some reason.
I never leave the house, so I must know what the weather and the traffic are.
Yeah. For that big commute you got to make.
Right, exactly.
A prowler. So here's the deal. A prowler, meaning like a burglar, like a dude, not really a burglar, but a guy creeping around at night. Prowling. Spent 3 hours licking a doorbell at a stranger's apartment. Just sitting there for 3 hours on camera, by the way, security camera.
Yes, just, you can watch the video, the very disturbing, disturbing video.
I don't want to watch it. Have you not watched it yet? I've seen stills. I didn't watch the full motion. Maybe I will now.
Oh, the full motion video. You got to watch it now while we're doing this because it's night vision cameras, so it kind of looks like Resident Evil.
All right. Let's take a look, chat. Here's the news. I'm sure I'm going to get some news crap for this first, right? Some news guy's going to talk.
Eric Barajas, only on 13 Eyewitness News.
It's not a real name.
The story this one is, one family's upset at a creepy trespasser who took gross to a whole new level. He was caught on a security camera. Look.
What?
Licking the doorbell.
Why?
It's nasty. It happened early Saturday morning in California. The homeowners were out of town at the time, but their kids were home. Police say Roberto Arroyo spent about 3 hours.
3 hours?
3 hours licking and milling around their yard.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move to something else.
Yeah. Let's.
Oh, they don't show the video?
No, they did the whole time.
Oh, they did. Okay. Yeah.
He's just really going to town on it.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh my gosh, dude! He's either sick as a dog today, or he's the most immune person I've ever known. How would you lick a freaking constantly touched freaking doorbell thing?
Yeah, I think germ health is probably the least of his worries. The least of the things afflicting this person.
Oh my gosh, what is that about? I want to know. I want to.
How did this not happen in Florida, by the way? That's what I want to know.
Right. We got a good Florida story coming up, though. Okay. But here's the thing. Like, why? Okay, here's the technology that needs to happen. We need to figure out a way to scan a person's head right after they do a dumb thing. So I want to be able to just see. I want this guy. I want to know what is in his head right then. What is he doing?
Like, oh, what's, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like, what's his thing? Is he...
Does he know it's a doorbell? Is he thinking it's something else? Is this the new 50 Shades movie that he's auditioning for here?
Yeah, there's your 50 Shades thing. Meth, says Sidian. I don't know. He looked like a meth head to me. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience around meth heads, so I don't really know. They don't all look like everybody in Breaking Bad, I suppose, but bath salts, that's what's in his head. Chatroom's blaming it all on drugs. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I think this guy might just be some swervy pervy.
he's at home today with the flu, but the good news is the doorbell climaxed 6 times. So
it won't stop ding donging.
the doorbell will never be the same.
Wow. That's fantastic. All right. Well, there's that guy. I think we may have reported on this before, but it's now getting closed down. The first restaurant in Paris to feature nude diners is closing down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Probably because of this guy.
Yeah, probably this guy. Or guys like him. I want to ask Patrick about this because I don't know if he ever tried to check this out. But anyway, the French capital's first restaurant reservedly exclusively made for naked diners will close its doors in February, just 15 months after opening due to lack of a simple bare necessity. Customers.
Yeah.
Nobody was going. Paris's first nudist restaurant, Au Naturel, of course, gave diners a place to leave their clothes and inhibitions at the door, and its opening of November 2017 was hailed as evidence of the rising popularity of naturalism in France. They say naturism, but I would say naturalism. Whatever.
Naturism.
Same thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. But after a little more than a year, located down there on 12th arrondissement. What is that? That's like saying the neighborhood.
Arrondissement. I guess it's like the 12th parish or the...
Yeah. Because they circle out, right? They have that weird...
Oh, is that how it works?
I think so. I think like there's this kind of rounded streets. I don't know. I've never been to France. Let's see. Here it says right here. It's a great regret that we announced the definitive closing of our restaurant on Saturday, February 16th, 2019, announced the owners, 42-year-old twins Mike and Stephanie Sada. Thank you for having participated in this adventure by coming to dine here. We will only remember the good times, meeting beautiful people and customers who are delighted to share in exceptional moments. Ugh. Or have all their dirty bits hanging out.
Exactly. By the way, I mean, we ate at a nudist restaurant, Scott. I don't know if you remember, but in Vegas.
Mm.
There was that restaurant, that pitch black restaurant we went to. Did you not strip down?
Oh, this explains a couple of things.
How I was able to pass the salt and not use my hands?
Yeah, or why Todd kept going, feel this, feel this. Feel this, check this out, check this out, I kept saying. It's like, what are you
How
doing,
come
Todd?
Every plate has a sausage on it.
I love the idea that you could trick somebody into like a midnight dining place that's actually everyone's naked but you. That's really funny. Thank goodness that didn't actually happen.
The trick would be that they think everybody's naked, but they're the only one. That would be the trick.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you can't go there anymore. So No more nudist restaurants for us.
Oh, darn.
Toronto, darn. Speaking of around the world, Toronto is getting a free unlimited nacho cheese dispenser next week. Check this out. Now, this is actually Taco
right next
Bell.
To like
this is Taco Bell doing this.
Really? So this is, yeah. Oh my God, is this going to be like right next to the soda machine? Like you could just go with your cup and go.
Even better. Even better. Right. So here's what they're going to do. Here's how they say in the article. In what could possibly be the most unusual and awesome ad campaign that Toronto has ever seen, Taco Bell is determined to prove to Canadians that everything is better with nacho cheese. But their claim to the test, Taco Bell is erecting a billboard in Toronto that literally dispenses nacho cheese. It's the billboard itself.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
All right. So in their news release this morning, Taco Bell encourages people to bring any snack they want to get the ultimate nacho cheese upgrade. They claim that even a piece of fruit or salad will taste better with smothered and zesty, gooey nacho cheese. This isn't true at all. What they're saying is not true. That's never true.
Apple slices are good with nacho cheese.
With nacho cheese?
Melted cheese. I don't know about nacho cheese, but last night at the pub that we went to for Puzzle Pint, we had a beer cheese dip that was basically cheese and cheese melted with beer, and they served it with roasted broccoli, pretzel bread, and apple slices, and it was great.
All right. So let's talk about
visitors. But I don't know about nacho cheese.
No,
spicier cheese, maybe not so good.
Yeah, not so much. I'd get some French fries and take them up there, and you get your own poutine
there
on the road.
Now we're talking.
Says first come, first serve basis. They're not going to be, it's not a permanent installation. Nacho chips aren't provided, but the cheese supply is unlimited as long as until it runs out. Which doesn't make sense. It's limited in terms it could run out. But what I can't picture in my head, and the article does not go into, is the logistics of where is this billboard? Is it like a normal billboard that's like a tall, big thing I have to climb?
and it's dumping nacho cheese like 50 feet below onto the unsuspecting heads of passersby.
Right. Do they have to go push a button? Do they have, like, there's a lot here we don't know. But
That article doesn't do it. I'm doing an image search just to see if if there's any sign. No.
Taco Bell nacho
Toronto
cheese.
Nacho cheese billboard.
That was my pick for Oscar last year. I think Taco Bell nacho cheese billboard.
Three nacho cheese billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Yeah, that's what I wanted the most. Yeah, I don't see a picture anywhere.
No.
I don't think they put it up yet. And when they do, then there'll be all kinds of photos.
Then we'll get some photos. But for right now.
Does just looking at Taco Bell things make you hungry for Taco Bell? It does me.
Yes. Yes, it totally does.
I might have to go there today.
I do have I have leftovers from last night that I'm gonna eat.
Oh, look,
I had
you're so resolved.
A portobello mushroom sandwich. It was really, really good, and I brought half of it home.
You're so resolved. I was just gonna see how I thought maybe the temptation would be too great. No, not with you.
I hate to say it. I used to be a weekly, like on Fridays, I have a conference call with a client, a regular weekly conference call with a client. Then I'd go upstairs. I'd ask Tina what she wants from Taco Bell. I'd run over there and I'd get it and bring it back and we'd have lunch together.
Nice.
And since November, have not been to Taco Bell at all, let alone, weekly.
You're killing it, man.
Which is okay, because if you do the fresco style where it eliminates the cheese and sour cream and replaces it with pico de gallo, then it like takes it down to manageable point levels, manageable Weight Watchers point levels, like, 5 or 6 points for a burrito supreme if you do it fresco.
Hmm. Yeah, you're always recommending that fresco thing. I need to remember that next time I go.
It's the way to do it. Yeah.
Maybe today.
There you go. And it's not at all like, you don't feel like you're sacrificing anything because it still feels like, oh my God, this is still like a burrito supreme. This is awesome. Oh,
how about the sauce stuff? Can you put that on or no?
Yeah, hot sauce is 0 points. You can put as much hot sauce as you want.
Is it weird that I ate like 2 or 3 packets of that in a car once when I was waiting for Kim at a grocery store? Is that weird? By himself, I mean, just kind of sucking them out. Is that bad?
It's better than 6 tacos in a Home Depot parking lot or Office Depot parking lot, but not by much.
It's... It seems so pathetic now that I think about it.
It's like the David Spade, Chris Farley, when he's sitting there in the car just slurping packets of ketchup, David Spade's, wow, I can actually hear you getting fatter.
Mm-hmm.
But at least the taco sauce is not as bad as ketchup.
Is that in Tommy Boy or the other one?
I think it's in Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy's the good one. The other one, Black Sheep's not great.
Black Sheep, not so good.
I know. Yeah. It bummed me out. I wanted that to be great. It was not great. Mm-hmm. I think we got... Everyone assumes that they were the best duo of their time, but I think we're all basing that on one movie.
We're just basing that on Tommy Boy and their SNL stuff that they did together, of course.
Yeah, and they were real friends and, you know, all that.
Their Gap Girls stuff, I think, was hilarious. Yeah. I'm going to have to give you guys a recipe, by the way.
For what? What do you got there?
It is a vegetable soup that is amazing. Mm. Like, it does not taste like all that's in there is vegetables. It's really, really good.
Mm. You make it recently during this diet stuff?
Yeah, I made it. I've made it three times. I made a big pot of it on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's so good. But I'll get the recipe and I'll put it up. Because right now it's just printed recipe, so I'll find it on the Weight Watchers site and give everybody a link to it. Give you guys a link to it, and then I'll put one in the chat room or Discord or someplace. The Slack. I'll put it in the Slack because that gets way more attention.
Sure. Scott first, chat room last. That's how it works.
But it's so good. Like, you simmer the soup. Like, it's two or three different kinds of beans, kale, onions, garlic, vegetable broth. And then you simmer it for a little while. Then you take 2 cups of it out and you use an immersion blender to puree it. And then you put it back in and it makes the whole soup creamier and it's got this really good taste to it. It's so good.
Mm.
See, that's the thing, John. I'm not a big fan of kale either. This makes me, you don't even taste the kale. And if you've ever had like the Zuppa Toscana at...
Oh, that kale's amazing. You got to eat that kale.
That kale's amazing. It's that kind of kale that totally works.
Yeah, we just made that again the other day. Kim's mm-hmm. always got a batch of that sitting around. And it's mm-hmm. so... That's the only way I like kale. Like, kale outside of that format. Like, if you take kale, put it in like a ramen or some kind of soupy thing, and it's super well mm-hmm. cooked and all mm-hmm. that, the kale's amazing in that combo.
Kale's amazing. Yep.
You take it out of that and you say, oh, here it is just as a lettuce-type unit to have in your salad.
Right.
You'd rather die because it's a giant, chunky, awful, bitter weed.
The only other way I've liked kale is get a cookie sheet, put the kale all over it, spray that down with some olive oil Pam, sprinkle it with salt, put it in the oven until it gets crispy, and then you've got kale chips, and those are good.
If I put bread in it, is that Pam daubing my bread? My Pam dauber.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I went really far for that. It's morning. What can I tell you? I can tell you this. We got to play a song because when we come back, we got Tom here. He's calling from Vegas. CES can tell us all the cool stuff he's seeing, as well as recommendals with Nicole Spagnola. Before all of that, a song from Brian.
I want to know how many drones Tom has seen at CES this year.
Many.
All right. Oh, this is so good. So this is a band called Unloved, and it's made up of vocalist and songwriter Jade Vincent and her partner, producer, composer, Kefis Ciancia, and the DJ, producer, composer, David Holmes. These guys have gotten a lot of attention because they contributed to the soundtrack for Killing Eve, the new show Killing Eve, which is just getting rave reviews and Golden Globe nominations. Sandra Oh just won for it at the Golden Globes. They've also done music for, both individually and together. Steven Soderbergh's Out of Sight, Ocean's 11, 12 and 13, HBO series Mosaic, Hunger, and the BBC series The Fall and London Spy. Mm. Anyway, these guys have done a lot of stuff together. They got a brand new album called Heartbreak. The band is called Unloved. The album is called Heartbreak. It's coming out the beginning of February. Here is a preview track. This is so good. It's called Love. Here is Unloved.
We'll be right back.
That's love. Someone's gonna love.
running over like a train, says it all right. Mama's gonna get it, Papa's gonna take it, baby. When it comes strong enough to break it, all right.
Hey, you guys, let's talk about, I don't know, something a lot of people don't like to talk about publicly, but it's okay. It's okay to do it. Remember those days when you were ready to go, guys? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. So listen up, BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. They bring you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they will work twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity shows up. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right here in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. That's again, BlueChew.com with promo code TMS to try it for free. It's the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring today's show.
Perfect. The Galactic Summit is nearly upon us. The wrath of the Children of the Sun shall fall upon the Interstellar Republic.
Hundreds gathered today to say their final goodbyes to this fallen Louisville police officer, D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
This is the Morning Stream. Yo, bartender, Jobu needs a refill.
Oh my gosh. I have another version of that you got to hear.
DD Mega Doo Doo.
Yeah, but Mega Doo Doo, something like that. This is really hard. So it's obviously recorded on somebody's crappy, thing, but here it is.
DD Mega Doo Doo.
It's no way it was DD Mega Doo Doo. There's no way.
That's so unfortunate. Like, you know,
you're talking about the death of a fallen
police officer. And, oh my God.
I know. It's awful. I know. I even hesitated clipping it because I thought, well, I'm not making fun of the poor guy who died, but boy, this reporter sucks. She's terrible.
DD Mega Doo Doo.
DD Mega Doo Doo is her new name. DD Mega Doo Doo.
DD Mega Doo Doo.
All right. Well, knowing what we know now and where we've been since, it's time to play this.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is Tom Merritt, all the way from beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, who is now in a hotel room. And you look like you have pretty good internet. It looks all right.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah.
Didn't work for Cord Killers, but there were more people using the internet in the hotel at that time, I guess.
Oh, right. Yeah, you get it. That's the best time to use the internet in the morning in Vegas. You get up early and you just crank it.
Yeah.
Nobody else is around doing dumb stuff. They get their porn later in the day. Hey, it's Tom Merritt all the way in Vegas because he's there for the Consumer Electronics Show 2019 Zone. And I love when you can come on while you're there because there's always rad stuff to talk about, like bread robots and smart makeup and things like that, or whatever it is you saw. So tell us what's
You've
going
been
on.
Following our Instagram, haven't you?
I kind of have, yeah. So what's going on up there? What's happening?
Yeah, so it's been pretty fun. CES is a gargantuan show. It's not the biggest in the world, but it's pretty darn big. It's up there in the top. So it's impossible to cover everything. But we've been trying anyway. If you listen to Daily Tech News Show, you can hear a lot of this stuff. I think the buzziest thing, I'm curious if it'll actually win a Best of CES award from Engadget, but I think the buzziest thing out there right now is the LG rollable TV. Oh, now, which is interesting because they showed it off last year, but last year it was just a concept. This year, they say, we're shipping this year. Of course, we'll see if they actually ship it or not. But the idea is it's a rollable OLED, which LG has been developing for years, that just kind of rolls down like a window shade, like a reverse window shade, into the base. So you can put it anywhere and not have a big old TV taking up your view unless you actually wanted to watch TV.
Hmm. That seems all right. I can think of all kinds of reasons why I would like that in my...
We've got a few people write in saying, I'm in a place where the TV really can only be in front of a window, which is annoying. And having this so that it wouldn't be blocking the window all the time would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for a better way to put these sorts of things away. The way we've done it traditionally is like, here's a giant cabinet, and it's got huge swinging doors. And inside of it is our television. Oh,
yeah, right.
It's a 4x3. But shoot, how are we going to put this widescreen in there? I guess we need a new cabinet. Better cut out a wall. Like, that sucks. Like, give me like...
Now, I know, I know I'm disappointing both of you by telling you a big thing at CES is a television. You're like, Tom, I didn't have to, call you to know that.
So I've heard it. Television.
I'm playing robot.
Oh, a what now? Playing what?
A ping pong playing robot.
Oh, sign me up.
Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
Oh.
Which is why I wouldn't really seriously cover it. But it was from the company Omron. Does that ring a bell?
No, it's not. Omron. Not at all. Omron?
Is okay, so you never worked retail with an Omron cash register then.
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
No, mine were all NCR.
So I saw the... Oh, you're NCR man. Okay. Yeah. No, I was
NCR man.
Respect. we were an Omron operation at Half Price Books in Austin. And so I saw the Omron. I was like, oh, yeah, it's the cash register people. That's hilarious. And then I walk up and they have a ping pong playing robot in the Omron booth that they've developed. They're pitching it as... A robot that can teach you to play ping pong, but to be honest, the people really needed to teach the robot. But like, they got a few volleys off that were impressive, but then when they tried to restart it, it was funny. They had a guy playing with it and it was really impressive because there were so many volleys. Then they changed guys and the next guy was just too good.
Really? So wait a minute. Was it like, were they serious about it, or is it just like a promo thing? Like, were they trying to really...
I think it's sort of showing off their robotics stuff. I don't think it's a shipping product or meant to be. And that's what you see a lot of at CES. The foldable phone, I don't know if you guys have heard about that from Royole.
Oh, right.
It's a tablet that you just bend. It's a bendable screen, and you just fold it up into a phone. It's not a very good product.
Is it thinner than the Samsung one that Samsung's been showing off?
No, it's pretty chunky when you fold it, but it's the software. The software is just janky when it tries to detect when you fold it. But Royole is going to make money selling these foldable screens because everybody sees like, oh yeah, you're even though your software is janky, your screen folds back and forth. It's sturdy. It doesn't look like it's going to, you know, break apart or anything. Mm-hmm. So they're probably, even though this is an actual shipping product in China right now, and they're going to start bringing it to the US as a dev kit, they're probably going to make their money eventually selling the technology, whether they sell off the patent licenses or if they just start making the screens for people, because that's the impressive part of that. And you see a lot of that.
Did you see, has there ever been anything that's caught your eye or, you know, you've come across or otherwise been told about there that you were like, oh, this is the product of CES. Like, this is
the thing. That never happens to me. Mm. I think that's kind of true for a lot of people who've been here a lot.
Yeah.
Because somebody, I think it was on Court Killers, Brian asked me, he's like, so when was the last time you had something that really like knocked you out? And I was like, Slingbox 2005.
Wow.
Never forget.
Yeah.
I imagine it's
always evolutionary because even the LG OLED rollable we saw last year, it just wasn't shipping yet. Right. Now it's actually, it's more exciting because it's a real product. So it rarely is the place where you see the big, huge advance. Although I saw some really promising stuff at the food tech conference. They had a little food tech thing that Spoon put on yesterday. And there were some really interesting things. Allison Sheridan had pointed it out already to me on DTNS, but something called GoSun that is a solar grill. So you don't use charcoal, you don't use gas. It's not solar powered, it's not electric. It just uses the heat of the sun to to cook your food. And it's got some electronics in it to sort of tell you by your app when things are done and measure the temperature and adjust things. So it does have a little bit of electric stove aspect to it. But the guy who founded it noticed that the heating tubes on solar water heating that he was pulling off of roofs would still be hot long after he pulled them off. And he's like, you know, this would make a pretty good oven. So that's what he's got. It's a tube. It's a solar tube that collects the sun. And it has a solar panel for the electricity. And it's able to cook your food that way.
Wow.
You chain seat that long. Wow.
Wow. So you
a lot of smart ovens here, too. A lot of smart ovens that can detect the food when you put it in and go, it's probably asparagus or broccoli. And it puts it up on the touchscreen.
I like that. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Dang, that's brilliant.
Huh. Yeah. Are you saying the one you talked about with the heated solar thing? Would you say
it's a series of tubes?
It's a series of tubes. Is that what you'd say?
Just one tube. No, that's a good question.
Okay, yeah. So more like a lava tube.
Lava tubes.
Okay, great.
My oven is so dumb.
Yeah, our ovens are stupid. I don't want a stupid oven anymore. I want a smart oven.
One that everybody makes fun of me because everyone else thinks it's stupid that I think is genius. Whirlpool showed off an oven with an LCD screen instead of a window because it's got cameras on the inside. Yeah. So you can see what's in the oven clearer than you would through the window without having to open the oven door, and you can zoom in.
Why has that? That should have been done. Oh, my gosh. That's taken too long. That's a thing we should have had 10 years ago. That's so cool.
I think it's because everybody scoffs like, wow, I can just open the door and look at it.
Yeah.
You know, like I've heard so many people say that here. And I'm like, yeah, but no, but you can zoom in. You can't zoom in when you lean in. It's hot. You're letting all the hot heat out when you open the door.
Yeah. This is what we learned back when rockets launch or when the shuttles used to launch. You'd get these awesome close-up shots of what it looks like in the actual combustion area of the engines and stuff. And you can't have a dude down there going, well, I'm just going to look at it. Like, there's advantages to that. And I didn't think about it with cooking, but what an amazing idea. Like, you could just, like, keep even a multi-camera solution is possible where you're checking all angles of the turkey and stuff.
Oh. There was also an oven under the Grundig brand. It was doing June also does this, where it detects the food when you put it in. But it also had a self-cleaning system that used water because it was a steamer as well as an oven, which, again, a lot of them are doing combos like that. And so it could take the water connection it had to do the steamer and clean the oven. And the guy was saying, he's like, yeah, eventually I want it to be a dual-purpose oven and dishwasher.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, sure. Like, cook the food, poop it out somehow, wash the dishes.
Yeah, well, you do
right,
the second part.
Oh. All right. Well, I want all of it done for me, is what I'm saying.
After you eat it, then you do the second part.
Okay. No, I this kind of stuff is always interesting to me, but I'm guessing when you go to a show like CES, it's wall-to-wall stuff like this. Lots of clever ideas, some of which will never take off, some of which are taking off, some of which aren't as big a deal as they are presenting them as or whatever, and it must just kind of blur together after a while. Like, do you go home going, boy, I sure hope my phone and washing machine can talk together tonight. Oh, yeah, that's not a thing yet. Like, is it overwhelming, or can you kind of keep track of what's going on?
I'm such a jerk. I just assume none of it's real and none of it's going to ship. I don't get excited anymore.
Well, I think that shows commitment on your part, because look, you're out there with the DTNS crew. You're covering the stuff in a really meaningful way, even though you think all of it's probably crap and not going to go anywhere. Yeah.
Believe me, that's the entire press room at CES. So, like,
yeah. It's probably easy to get a little cynical in there.
Jaded.
Yeah.
Once bitten, twice shy.
Well, sure.
And part of it is because there is so much stuff, and every person who has a thing is doing their darndest to make it sound like the best thing so that they can stand out and get attention. And so there's all kinds of exaggerated claims and hiding disadvantages. And so it's the job of people here covering it to poke through that and go, okay, can it really do that? Is that as good as it sounds? What can't it do that you're not telling me? And so it just kind of creates that environment, I think.
Well, I appreciate your sacrifice. Let's just say that. And every day, of course, doing some ups with some rad guests and stuff on Daily Tech News Show. Anybody cool lined up today?
Yeah. We got Robert Herron coming on. He's going to talk about all the home theater stuff because there's a ton of TVs and speakers and cool things like that. And Shannon Morse is going to join us. She's been out prowling around on the floor. We've talked to her a couple of times. We run into her covering things, so we'll see what caught her eye, especially from a security standpoint. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's coming up at 2:30 Mountain Time.
That is correct. I love it when those guys come on. Especially, I really like Robert. I think he's awesome. And so whenever there's TV stuff to talk about, he's a great guest. That's what you'll get today, 2:30 Mountain Time, and every day, really, except for Saturdays. Sundays.
Sunday through Friday, yeah. Although we have a new thing on Saturdays, Daily Tech Headlines, which is a different show.
Right.
But Daily Tech Headlines is just 5 minutes a day, keep you updated. Rich Straffolino is doing a week in review on Saturdays.
Oh, very nice.
So even if you missed a couple of the headlines or forgot about them on Saturday, you can sort of get like, okay, here's all the important stuff of the week.
I always get the Straffolino when I go to Olive Garden. It's really good.
It's delicious.
Oh,
yeah. And
so
he has
good.
Two kids.
Yeah, and when you're there, it's family.
The sauce on the side, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Please, can I please get the sauce on the side this time?
When you're there, you're Rich's family.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, do you anything else you want to mention before we go today?
You know what? It's all CES all day long for us this week. So if you want to catch up on CES and you feel like that's too much, you could just listen to the past two DTNSs, and then we've covered the majority of the things that are getting the buzz and interest out there. So check it out, dailytechnewsshow.com.
Yeah, and don't forget, Tom will be home at the end of all of this, and he and I will do a makeup current geek this weekend. Friday night, we're planning on it. And
Got to watch Star Wars. Have you watched it yet?
Yeah, no, but I'm gonna, and I'm excited.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I've never seen Star Wars. I don't know what to expect from it. It's gonna be really weird. But looking forward to that. Tom Merritt, Ace Detect on Twitter, DailyTechNewsShow.com. Have a safe and wonderful rest of your trip, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye now.
See ya.
Okay. That was lovely.
Yes.
Always a good time with Tom. All right, Nicole. Yeah.
I
think we can add her to the call. Yeah. Oh, that's weird. Why did I do that? Okay, well, let's just focus on Brian. There we go. All right, giving her a call. Let's see what's going on there with a little bit of musical introduction right here. Nicole Spagnuolo, all the way from Colorado, her own self, is here to Woo-hoo! Do recommendals, and we're always happy to have you here. How are you?
I'm very happy to, yeah, what?
your cold's
good,
gone.
Good, very good.
You don't have a cold anymore.
No, I don't. The kids went back to school today. I don't know what it is, but I had an anxiety attack this morning.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I got through the holidays. And on the day they go back to school, I have an anxiety attack.
You know what? I get those sometimes, and they're always at times like that. They're like the dumbest possible. Like, you know what it is? In the holidays, you gird yourself up, and you're walled off, and you got everything under control, and you're focused on getting stuff done, and you got all the plans. And then when all that stuff goes away, you're like, you let down your guard just a little bit, and all the monkeys come jumping in. They jump on your head and start kicking your brain around. I've been there.
I started meditating again this morning because I was like, oh, God, I don't like this. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
But, meditation's the answer. Yeah. How you do it. It's how I do it.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that, and also having your kids out of the house for a good portion of the day.
Yes.
Let's get right into it. We do recommendals here on Wednesdays, which is us talking about things we liked on streaming services of various types. Serviuses. Anyway, our tradition here on the show is that we begin with Brian Ibbett, and he has brought a clip. Brian, is there any setup you'd like with your
clip? That's right. The only setup, I'll reiterate the setup that I gave earlier this week. It is a series that is coming under quite a bit of controversy lately because of some other practices going on around the development of the series.
Intrigue. Wow. Okay. Well, let's see what the drama's all about when I click this link.
I'm really not that good of a tutor. I write their essays for them sometimes.
Really? You're not supposed to do that.
I also didn't spill anything on my sweater. Just got into your bath. The same dirty bath water.
Ugh.
And then I put on your makeup and your jewelry. And then I just hung out in your bed that whole time.
It's okay. We're both lesbians, right?
What is this? I have no idea what this is.
Dirty bath water.
Yeah.
That is Connie Britton you're hearing there.
Whoops, sorry. It's playing again for no reason. Sorry, go ahead.
That's Connie Britton you're hearing there, as well as Frankie Shaw. Frankie Shaw is the tutor. She plays an actress or a character named Bridget. And the TV show is called Smilf.
Ugh.
Smilf. Oh, I've seen the trailers for this.
Yes, this is Smilf. It's on Showtime. It's based on a short film that Frankie Shaw wrote, directed, and created, and got some accolades. And then she turned it into a series. And it's got Rosie O'Donnell as her mom, Connie Britton as basically one of her bosses that she works for. She tutors her kids and is kind of like a little housekeeper for, who apparently has been assuming this whole time that she's gay.
Okay.
But the problems that the show has been having lately is that one of the actresses, Samara Weaving, who was recently in that Netflix show, The Babysitter, had to do a sex scene, a nude scene on the show, and asked that a lot of the crew be dismissed and that the monitors be turned around so that, you know, other people couldn't be watching it. And, apparently the crew didn't do that. And so there was some lawsuits and stuff like that. And so there's a bunch of controversy going on. The show itself is really good.
That. She does know that she's being filmed, right?
Mm. Right. Exactly. That, you know, people will be able to watch, but I guess it's the whole, like, I don't want you watching me walk around nude, getting ready for my scene and stuff like that. I want to have like final say on what gets shown.
Well, and they usually have a lot of leeway that way. You can say things like that, and usually it's honored, or you create something like that in your contract if you're concerned about it. But if it wasn't in her, well, I don't know anything about the case. I can't make any judgments here.
Yeah, but weird.
I don't know why I thought this was on Amazon. I didn't realize it was Showtime that it was on.
It's a Showtime series. There's the first season's over, I think 8 episodes in the first season, and the second season is about to start, or maybe it even has already started. But it's really, really funny. It feels like like one of those Showtime shows. I don't know if we've ever recommended Kidding, the Jim Carrey show on there.
Is this good? Is it a good show?
It looks fantastic.
I hear it's like a dark comedy kind of.
See, the reason I didn't, I finished that one. I devoured that show. It was so good. And I was going to recommend all that, but I thought that we'd already recommended it on this show. No. So that's why I moved over to Smilf. But I'm recommending both of them then. You know, it's worth getting a month of Showtime just to binge those two shows if you don't already have Showtime show.
I think I might have it from Twin Peaks.
Leftover from Twin Peaks?
Yes.
Someone forgot to go in and edit
that. Yeah. I should really go check that.
Yeah, well, while you've got it, then for sure watch Kidding. And I think watch the first couple episodes of this and see what you think. So basically, it's the story of this single mom named Bridget, played by Frankie Shaw. She, by the way, writes and directs the whole series, creator-owned. And it's semi-autobiographical from what I know. And you've probably seen her in other things. She was in the first season of Shameless, and she's been in a bunch of different things. If you look up Frankie Shaw, you'll probably recognize her. But it's about living in Boston, being a single mom, having a mother who is bipolar, like I said, played by Rosie O'Donnell, just trying to get by and being kind of in the just under the poverty line kind of thing, but it's really, really good.
Samara Weaving, by the way, here's a picture of her chat. She reminds me of this is good. This is good.
Okay.
So what was her name on Community? What was that girl's name?
Britta.
Okay, Britta.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like she...
Jillian Jacobs.
There was a Jillian Jacobs truck coming down one street. And on the other street, a truck driven by, what's her name? Tanya. What's her name?
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie's in the other one. Margot Robbie coming screaming down the other street.
The Margot Robbie truck collided with a Gillian Jacobs truck.
And they slam together and create her. That looks like her. That's a combo of those two people. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I could totally see that. Yeah, for sure.
If I could remember names, this would all have been easier.
Now that's an accident I'd like to watch.
Yeah, you would. All right. Well, there you go.
Oh, my point.
Available on Showtime right now, which if you're like Nicole, you still have and didn't know it.
So. That's great. So Andrew Azeroth says you can get it on Amazon, YouTube, and Google Play, etc. as well. I guess just buying seasons, yeah. Oh. So that's an alternative if you don't want to. I mean, I think you can get a month of Showtime for $7.99 or $6.99 or something.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So pick up a month of it and just watch Kidding and Smilf. You know, maybe Drew catch Carey, up on The Affair.
Is Drew Carey kind of, what's his character like?
I think you mean Jim Carrey.
What did I say? Drew Carey.
I just said Drew Carey.
Drew Carey. Yeah.
He's really skinny and knows the prices of common household.
And he bleached his hair and we don't know why.
Right.
I don't understand that.
Sure.
No, I think it just turned gray, didn't it?
I don't know.
But no, it's a dark, it's basically like, so it's as if a Mr. Rogers type character was just starting to get disillusioned with the people who are
writing everything
and working on a show, and just kind of reaches a breaking point.
Okay.
Jim Carrey's character is very much like a Mr. Rogers style. Like, you know, it's a genuine thing as opposed to being like just on the cameras, I'm a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Because I was hoping it wasn't like, oh, I'm like this great guy on camera with right. the kids, but then I have this dark, horrible side. And like that movie, the Alf, the guy that made Alf.
You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah.
It had Ben Stiller, or not Ben Stiller. What the hell? Yeah, no.
Was it Ben Stiller? I know what you're talking about. I know which one you mean. It's kind of like
that. But it's
like we'll know it in a second. Yeah.
But it's like a super dark, like, oh, I'm creating this Alf character and it's very funny, but my personal life, I'm doing drugs and everything's awful. And
no, I mean it's you can see the Smoochie. Oh, Smoochie, yeah, right? That one, Death to Smoochie.
No, not Death to Smoochie. It was like not Permanent Midnight. Maybe it was. Anyway, I'll think of it. I'll go, oh, I know.
There you go. Yeah. So no, he doesn't intentionally have a dark side, but he might start to develop one based on everything else that's going on in his life. Mm. Major tragedy that befalls him and stuff like that. So really, really good. I'd say I would have recommended that if I didn't think we'd already recommended it. So
It is called Permanent Midnight, and it was Ben Stiller. Oh, all he had to do was say movie about Alf creator.
Oh,
it comes up.
Yeah, I didn't know Ben Stiller was in that.
Elf, the guy, like the
yeah,
creator.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's an interesting.
Who was that? That
Sorry.
Ain't me.
Sorry, no, it was my brother calling me.
So, what was I going to say? It reminds me of recent revelations. I hate finding out things about stuff I admire. Like,
oh yeah,
yeah.
The guy who created Ren and Stimpy has got some.
That whole Elmo thing that came out. Did it get debunked?
I don't know if it got debunked. I don't know what happened with it. Some of it, that's the other problem, is you never know when some of this is just somebody going after somebody or if it's real or not. And I hate it. I'm just going to ignore it. You know what? I'm turning off the internet. Yeah. Goodbye, everybody. It's been great. Okay. I've enjoyed my time. Just kidding. Here's a clip.
Don't watch Permanent Midnight then.
Yeah, don't watch Permanent Midnight.
But it's got Owen Wilson, man. Wow. It's got Owen Wilson.
Wow. Here's something that your clip reminded me of, Brian, and then I'll move on.
Baby, sure. I could drink a bathtub full of your water.
Gross. All right.
That's gross.
Here's, I haven't played that since the early days of the show.
It is Connie Britton's bathwater. I don't know if that changes things.
Well, I don't know. Is it her American Horror Story bathwater or her
Friday Night Lights bathwater?
Okay. All right. Just warm water on a Friday night. With the lights on. Got it. Here's mine, and it's super dumb. In fact, some of you have heard clips. I've been playing clips on TMS from this, so you may hear this and go, oh, isn't this familiar on TMS? But now you'll know why I've been obsessed with it, so here you go.
Horrified by the sight of the giant alien and stunned by the death and violence he has witnessed, young Rick has fallen into a state of deep shock.
All right, any guesses?
Wow.
I have no idea.
Rick.
When I was a kid, I loved Japanese imported cartoons.
Oh, okay.
So whether that was Voltron or what was the one with the big boat in the sky? I always forget the name of it. Anyway, whatever it was, I was into it because, you know, we were kids and that's what you did on Saturday morning. And it was fun to see this weird thing. So for me, it's been a bit of a walk down memory lane. to both find and watch on Netflix the entirety of Robotech.
Nice. Robotech.
Robotech, which is, you know, big robots, stupid airplanes, very cheesy 80s anime with a really, really cheesy voiceover.
It's dub. M.A. Why is it M.A.?
M.A.? Oh, I don't know. It shouldn't be. Really?
Because of sex, nudity.
There's nothing in there like that.
Some of them robots, you know, aren't wearing clothes.
I have no idea why that would be. Maybe these are unedited Japanese things or something, and I don't know, but nothing. I've seen, I don't know, I've been through six episodes or something, and there's nothing. It's just a dumb kids cartoon.
50 Shades of Gunmetal Gray.
What? What? Honestly, yeah, I don't know.
MA. Why is it?
I honestly don't know. Oh, you know what? There's a scene in the third episode where there's a girl. Okay, so they spring a leak in this hallway in the ship and the water spraying like crazy. And they decide, hey, since we're here, we'll just use this to shower in. And so some girl gets down to where nothing's to shower, but they don't show anything. It's just like a little rear butt thing, and that's it. There's like no nothing. So maybe there's like a bunch more later, or maybe I don't know. But when I was a kid, they didn't have any of that stuff in it. So
yeah. I mean,
Scott, don't ever stop describing nudity with way more words than need to be used.
Like, I mean, 1983.
Rear butt nudity and man wiener. And, you know.
1983 ratings are different from, you know, 2019 ratings.
Yeah,
so
but MA, that's hard, man.
Yeah, right.
I have not seen anything yet that strikes me as that, so I don't know what's going on there. But it's all part of the Macross universe, or Macross, however you say it, which is like a city, and it's a manga, and I don't know much else about it except it's Robotech is what I watched when I was younger. So getting to kind of relive all that again has been kind of a hoot. But again, I haven't run into anything hugely objectionable, so I don't know what people are seeing, but apparently there's something in there. It's Netflix.
Debbie.
Yeah, all there. It's a good transfer. It sounds really good. I mean, for an old 80s poopy anime thing, it looks all right. Zoe says, is Scott the only one who has 100 words for nudity? Probably.
I think the Eskimos do as well. I'm sorry, the Inuits.
Yeah. And they are big transforming robots fighting. That is exactly what it is.
Nudity and snow. Get 100 words.
Yeah, there you go. Nicole, it falls to you. What do you got there?
All right. I'm going to send you my clip right now, and then you can play it, and we can talk about it.
Let's see what we got here. Yeah, let's do that.
So I cannot see. There we go.
Okay, here I'm hitting play, and I'm not looking myself either.
Why don't you leave Sylvia and Jenny here with me? I got six kids. Two more won't make a difference. $20 a week and you won't have to worry. I want you all upstairs. Except for you two. Your daddy's check didn't arrive today.
Oh, it's probably just late.
Lean over those.
I have no idea.
Wow. Was that Catherine Keener?
That was Catherine Keener. And
she's
you also
in kidding.
Heard, you also heard Ellen Page. James Franco is in this.
Yeah.
This is a movie that did not come to theaters because there was like the production company or whatever. It was back in 2007. I completely missed this. It showed up on Amazon Prime, and the premise intrigued me because it's about this woman in the 1960s. This is a true story, by the way.
Okay.
In the 1960s, held a girl captive in her basement for months.
It's no good.
And the neighborhood kids tortured her.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And she eventually died.
Jeez. That's hardcore, man.
I had never heard
good hit of 2018.
Yeah. No
sorry. I usually am not. I mean, on occasion, you know, those true crime stories captures my attention.
Yeah.
And the fact that this is a woman played by Catherine Keener, who had a ton of kids, and she brought these two girls in because she was struggling, and her parents were on they were on a carnival circuit. So they were going from town to town to town, and they needed somewhere to leave their girls while they worked.
Oh, they're carnies. Okay.
Carny, yeah.
I like a carny. Sure.
So
hey, take a look behind you at what Dougie's doing. Is Dougie doing something he should be doing?
Dougie, stop it.
Wow. What was Doug doing?
He's chewing on something. He's always chewing on everything.
I love that dog.
Do you guys ever call him just straight up? Do you just call him Doug or Dougie?
When I'm mad at him, call him Doug.
Okay. I love that name.
Right now, Nicole does not dig dog.
Yeah. Wow.
Calm down. Just calm down. Right. So, and Ellen Page plays the girl that is basically
just kidnapped.
Well, they're not that's the thing. They're not kidnapped. But the mom, she's on, I don't know what she's on, but she's on something. Throughout the film, you see her drinking this thing because she's sick. I actually, after watching the movie, I'm like, I want to know more about the real story.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what happened to everybody? Because everybody was prosecuted. The kids that tortured the girl. Like it happened in Indiana in the 1960s. It's called, I didn't even say the movie. It's called An American Crime.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, what in the world? Dougie, stop it. Sorry. I'm like, I'm trying to be serious here. Talk about an intense movie.
Yeah.
Me neither. And it's, she was a horrible woman. And
where's that streaming?
It's on Amazon Prime right now.
All right. Up my alley. I like stuff like this.
But Ellen, and it was one of those movies that because it didn't get released in movies or in theaters, mm-hmm. it just kind of was under the radar, I think. And it has an amazing cast. The actors in it just do. Ellen Page is almost spot on. I saw a picture mm-hmm. of the girl that it was based off of, and they look very similar.
Yeah, even. Ellen Page is awesome. I love watching her work.
And her sister,
Catherine Keener, was just so sweet in Get Out. I can't imagine seeing her as a bad person.
Oh my god, she's horrible in this movie. I hate her in this movie.
But
it's kind of like what you were talking about last week, Scott, about what that documentary or something like. Who, or maybe it was you, Brian, talking about trying to get people to do things they normally wouldn't do or
Was that push people off a cliff deal or whatever it is?
Yeah. Weren't we talking about that?
We were talking about, I don't think anybody's seen it yet, but we were all talking about that's the thing we may want. I've been holding off because I don't like, I hate the entire topic of people being manipulated into doing a thing that would not normally do, or the guys that would like electrocute people in that one experiment. Thinking they were killing them, but it really was all whatever that was called. Those things they freak me out because they dig into this part of humanity I don't like looking at in the eyes.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is exactly that, because you actually see the trial and the attorney going, why didn't you help her? Why did you do that to her? And the kids are like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And it's a weird thing, this bubble this woman created with this girl, and it's just horrible. So this was her story, and
I'm interested. I like it. I like all the actors you've mentioned as well, so I would probably like it even just on that level alone.
Did I say James Franco was in it?
Yes. How's he doing there? Good.
It's a small role, but it's a creepy role, so
there are no small roles, Nicole. The acting agent will tell you that there are no small roles.
Is there a scene in that movie where he shoots at a guy randomly and the guy yells pan shot 50 times as he runs toward him? No? Okay.
Every movie, every James Franco movie.
Pan shot.
So there you go.
Oh, hi, Mark. Prime. Pan shot.
That'd be all right.
Oh, my God. Somebody needs to do a mashup of that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Well, all right, then. There you go. Three fantastic recommendals today. And they'll all be reiterated upon on Twitter by Nicole Spag herself, at Nicole Spag on Twitter. So go follow her if you're not already, and watch for that. And you'll know where to go and what to do to see these things. Nicole, it's been a pleasure as always. May your week be fulfilling and wonderful, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Okay, now
I'm gonna read a quick email.
Sure,
here it comes. This is from Jeff Sire, our friend up in Canada. We love Jeff Sire, don't you know, Bronco? Oh, he's a good fella, don't you know? He says this. Dear Scott and Brian, his subject is New Jersey man dousing himself in diesel and trying to light himself on fire. Remember that story we talked about?
Yep.
He says diesel ignition is by compression and not by spark plug. The fuel is atomized and mixed with air, then compressed way beyond a gasoline engine compression. The compression generates its own heat, which causes ignition of the fuel. This used to make starting them in the cold very, very difficult. I remember when we were kids and people used to leave their diesel Volkswagens running in the parking lot during church in just the winter. That was why. With computerized ignition, the computer adjusts the timing now to compensate for the cold, Jeff Sire. Not only gave us a little education as to the difference between, you know, traditional gasoline or unleaded gasoline and diesel, but also under what conditions it can actually ignite. And it turns out if you douse yourself in it, you're not creating any of those pressure conditions to ignite it. Right. So that's right. Why that guy's an idiot.
Very interesting. Wow, that's totally cool.
Yeah. Thanks, man. He comes from all the way in Bowmanville, Canada.
Bowmanville.
Just Bowmanville? Not Bowmanville?
Okay. Bowmanville.
Bowmanville. All right, well, that's it. Thanks for that. And yeah, you can plug them in too, says the chat. Right? Oh, I don't know what he means. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Plug in those cars to heat them up.
Oh, yeah, right. I remember that. People did that with their Golfs and their Bugs and stuff back in the day. Anyway, I've decided I like Volkswagens again. They're super cheap right now because they screwed up with their EPA lie that they told.
Right, right.
And so they're really cheap and they give you like lifetime maintenance deals and all kinds of stuff. Like, it's the time to buy a Volkswagen, I think. Thinking about it.
I loved my Beetle when I had a Volkswagen Beetle. It was one of the new, not the current new Beetle, but the previous new Beetle.
Yeah, the one that was the big comeback Beetle. Mm-hmm. And then this new one is, I saw somebody's racer version of this current Beetle with like racing seats, and it was a hot little booger. I want one. Anyway, there's that. Hey, don't forget to support us at patreon.com/TMS. Without that, there is no TMS. There's nothing to listen to. So go check it out and support us. patreon.com/TMS. We are at frogpants.com/TMS for all the things you might need. Our email account, which is themorningstream@gmail.com. All our Twitter stuff. All of it. Everything. Everything's there. And if you're in the chat room, vote for a title. frogpants.showbot.tv.
Okay. We will shut down this podcast.
The best
unless we get $5 million on Patreon.
That's right. I'm not budging. It's everyone else's fault, but I'm not budging. All right. Let's get out of here. Do you have a song to do?
I have a song going out to Andy in Baton Rouge.
Ooh, that's Red Stick.
Red Stick. Yep. That's right. Red Stick. Yep. He says, no reason, no requested date. I just discovered the band OTEP and I wanted to share. This is great. It is a cover of Nirvana's Breed by the band OTEP from their 2007 album, The Ascension. Here is OTEP.
Oh, man, you are so fast. Thanks, everybody. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. So come back then.
Nirvana means freedom from pain, suffering, and the external world. I don't care, I don't care, I don't care.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Damn him!